Let's pray. Just raise your hands today. I'm just going to pray for him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this incredible man that you've placed among us, Father. I pray this morning, Lord, that he will be, Lord, filled with your anointing, Lord, that he'll be, Lord, be able to speak with authority, Father. Lord, as you open your word to us, Lord, let our hearts, Lord, not be hard, Lord, but let us, the soil of our hearts, Lord, be ready to receive what you have placed in him for us today. In Jesus' almighty name, we pray this. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Lyle. Okay, good morning. Wow, the last morning of 2023. What a joy. It's actually a really joy to be with you this morning. When we planted Roffey, so actually I'll just maybe introduce myself. I am Dave. I'm from the Roffey congregation. I'm a deacon there with my wife Liz over there. I should say that at some point she may have to leave. It's not necessarily an indication of my preaching. So I should probably just say that. You know, when we planted Roffey, I got this real sense that God was going to say, when we do come back together, there's going to be times when we don't know each other. And that's not something to worry about. You know, when I look around now and I see faces I don't know, I don't see visitors per se. I see the goodness and the faithfulness of God to this house. So I'm really, really, really pleased to see people that I don't know this morning. You know, it's a real honor. And it's a real privilege to be preaching on a kind of a bonus CLC one, you know, when we've got two congregations together, because we only come together, you know, on occasions. So it's a real treat. It's been a really, really busy couple of weeks, hasn't it? We've had loads going on as a family. I'm sure, as a church family, we've had loads going on, loads of events. But there's been, you know, Christmas cards writing and sending. There's been presents to buy and give. There's been, like, work Christmas parties and carol concerts and school plays, nativities. Beef Wellingtons to cook on a barbecue. I was getting to that. Food preparation. Food eating. That's one of the best bits. And, you know, lots of Christmas films to watch. Who gave the Christmas films a good watching this year? Yes, we did as well. But, you know, we wouldn't have had any of that if it hadn't been for Jesus. Amen? It doesn't mean that without Jesus we wouldn't have had Beef Wellington. That's not what I said. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have had a reason to celebrate and to cook one. Because it's all about him. He is the reason for the season. We hear that. But, you know, in the busyness of life, in the busyness of Christmas, of all those events, all those things, we can sometimes lose sight on why he came. Because of this never stopping, never giving up, always, forever, unbreaking love that God had for you. And that is the love story of Scripture, and it's all about Jesus. If you haven't read it, it's all about Jesus. And we can lose sight of that. I don't know about you, but I often, during Christmas, in the run-up to Christmas, we as a family go through an Advent study. I don't know if others do that. But over the last couple of years, Liz has like curated scripture and stories and decorations.
And chocolates.
With the help of various studies. And, you know, we wind our way through scripture that tell of the coming of Christ. They tell of hope. They tell of promises. They tell of a love that is so great that God just couldn't be without us. But it tells of a waiting, of a people who were longing for Christ to come. You know, we sing songs that reflect that. There's a song we sing, King of Kings. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes. That is the God that we serve. That is Jesus. That is who we're singing to. He is the King of Kings. And you know, for 400 years, people waited for Christ. It's 400 years from when Malachi, in I think it's chapter 3, he says, you know, who will be able to stand when he comes? He will be like a refiner. You know, he's talking about Jesus coming. It's 400 years from that point to when Matthew starts recording the genealogy of Jesus. You know, I sometimes wonder what that must have been like, not hearing the voice of God for 400 years, just having to cling on to those promises, but not hearing his voice. You know, I often find myself wondering what that must be like. And I know when I've had sort of dry seasons, I have felt distant from God. Now, it never says that God was distant from his people. It said he was silent. And it's really important that we don't think he's distant because he's silent. But I've had to stand on his promises, his faithfulness, the things that I know. I've had to dig into his word. I've had to surround myself with his people and eagerly anticipate and hope that he will speak to me. You know, even today in 23 and tomorrow 24, we know how important it is to hear the voice of God in our lives and in our meetings when we're together. It brings life. It unlocks something. It breaks something. Even this morning, you know, we've had words of joy, of freedom, of acceptance, of love. That is, who doesn't want those things on a Sunday morning? And every morning. Okay, so why am I telling you this? So it has been busy. And God has done so much. I just said at the beginning, you know, that the fact there are people here I don't know is the faithfulness and goodness of God. And we're expecting him to do it again. We had salvations, we've had miracles, we've had healings, and we want him to do it again. And there can be a temptation to maybe relax, to sit back, to chill out. Start with some New Year's resolutions maybe, warm up around Easter, head into the Isle of Man conference on a trajectory for Christmas, and then have a chill out again. And repeat. And I've done it. I've done it. And I'm with you. But I want to maybe encourage you to do something different this year. And that is maybe to wait for Jesus. Just like we read in those Advent stories, trusting in him, depending on him, be listening for him, be looking for him, and be expectant. It means to be active in our waiting. It means to prepare ourselves for him, to be ready. And it's actually something that we can do today. We don't even have to wait till tomorrow. It means to be intentional. Who remembers when intentional was the CLC word of the year? Do you remember that? That was about like 2016, 2017. It's everything. It's let's be intentional. Yeah, let's be intentional to wait for Jesus. Let's be really active in that. When I was at university, I was in the Officer Training Corps, the OTC. Many of my peers went on to take commissions in the army, and they had this favorite saying. I think it was probably army-wide. It may even be sort of forces-wide. And we would. It was hurry up and wait. We would rushed around to get ready for things, be it a parade, an inspection, an exercise, moving to the next thing. We get rushed around only to stand for what felt like an hour to begin. But we were ready. The Boy Scouts motto, Andrew, where is he? Be prepared. So in the army, they were maybe a little bit more realistic about the importance of being ready. They would say quick drills lead to quick kills. Now, if the enemy was to attack, being ready or being found ready is the difference between life and death. Because that's the reality of war. And we are, whether we like it or not, we are in a battle. Did you know that? So I guess the first challenge is, how do you think we're going to be found in January? Are we going to be in our slobs with Netflix on? Perhaps. Not that there's necessarily an issue with that. We're going to look at three stories, I guess, this morning. And we're going to look at where people were waiting. Not so we could copy them, but we can learn the principles of waiting. And, you know, if you are sitting here this morning and you are tired and exhausted and at the end of yourself, this message is for you. Don't be discouraged. This is not an exhortation to start something new and exciting and to forget your tiredness. But similarly, if you are waiting for a miracle or a prayer, answer to prayer, or you're waiting for the second coming of Jesus, this message is for you. So hopefully that covers everybody. But if you are tired, you know, we sing, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. That isn't just genius lyrics by Chris Tomlin. That is Isaiah 40. I think have we got that, Andrew? He gives strength to the weary and increase the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, those who wait in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. If that's you, I would encourage you to hurry up and wait this morning. And actually, you'd be in good godly company. Moses waited 40 years. Joseph waited 13 years. Noah waited 120 years. I don't know if I could wait 120 days sometimes. Abraham waited 25 years. David waited 12 years. Mary waited. The woman at the well waited. The woman who touched the hem of Jesus' cloak waited for him to pass. Mary and Martha waited. You would be in really good company this morning. And it's in the waiting that God gets the glory. Because actually, it's not about us. It's not about what we can do in our strength. But he allows us to partner with him, to trust him, and to give him the glory. So, let's hurry up and wait. Our first story we're going to look at is the watchman in Psalm 130. The Psalms actually are full of I waited for the Lord. You know, it's a common refrain. But Psalm 130 specifically is a psalm of ascent. There are 15 of these throughout the Psalms. There's a disagreement, I guess, about what the songs of ascent are for. But there is agreement that they're all of hope. They are psalms of hope. I say that because when you read the first two verses, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Doesn't sound very hopeful. But actually, you know, that is a sentiment that I think everybody has probably felt. And it's probably, as these were being sung, the people of Israel were probably thinking, I get that. I understand that. You know, and it does parallel with that King of Kings. In the darkness we were waiting. Lord, hear my voice. In the depths I cry to you. Without hope and without light. Hear my voice, Lord. But we carry on in verse 3. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman wait for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. 8 verses. There is weight of sin. There is forgiveness of sin. There's reverent service. There's waiting. There's hoping. There's evangelism. There's unfailing love. And there's redemption for sin for Israel. I mean, I could stop there. Because that is the Lord. But I'm not going to stop there. Let's go back to verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. Which word? Which word? His word. All of his word. Who's got a Bible? Ian Rook's normally got a Bible. Where are you, Ian? Somebody wave a Bible at me? No? Yeah, everyone's got a phone. In his word, I put my trust. In his word, I put my trust. All of it. Every word, every promise, every instruction, every encouragement, you can put your trust. But actually, before that, the psalmist says, my whole being waits. My whole being waits. That's his heart. That's his body. That's his mind, that's his soul. He's saying everything that I am Everything that makes me, everything within me, waits for you, Lord. There's nothing to leave. But my job and my family are off to one side. Look, no, everything that I am, everything that is me, waits for the Lord. I want to be found like that in January. He goes on to say, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. Has anyone done security work? Night security or anything? Yeah? So I did it on the Port of Felix, though, about 20 years ago, when I was home from uni with he's now my brother-in-law, but he wasn't at the time. I had this little hut that I used to sit in and make tea, could watch videos. And about every half an hour or so, we would go and do our rounds. And I would have to sort of, you know, walk the fence line, make sure there's no issues, make sure the doors were shut, make sure nothing was amiss. And, you know, I'm sure at the beginning of the night, I could open that hut and I could just go, yeah, it looks fine. But as the night wore on, it got darker and darker and darker. And I'm sure my torch got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And I was right up to things. Having to check, getting into the really gloomy parts behind like the pallets to make sure, I don't want to go around there. And I had to go and have a look. And it was pretty grim. But I tell you, when I knew that sunrise was just over the horizon, whew, you're counting that last cup of tea, gonna make a cup of tea, 10 minutes to go, here we go. And you knew that the first light was coming. But so I felt like I have a slight inkling of what he means when he says that the watchmen are waiting for the morning. But actually, if you were on the walls of Jerusalem, you know, there was a real and present danger you were going to get attacked. We know that because we read that in Scripture. The walls are constantly being attacked. And it's in those hours of darkness just before dawn that an enemy attacks. I don't know if it's because the watchmen are tired, they may be complacent, thinking about getting back to their bed. But that's the time that the enemy choose to attack. So with the coming dawn comes safety, comes deliverance, comes refuge. So what does it mean to wait for the Lord like a watchman? It means to be expectant that he's going to come. We know the time of the sunrise tomorrow. I'm sure if I asked Alex, he would tell me it's, 7:04 or something. Because we know what time, that it's reliable. We can predict it. We know that the Lord has come. So to wait for the Lord like a watchman means to be expectant that he's going to come, to eagerly anticipate his arrival. That can be in our meetings here on a Sunday. That can be in our situation, whether it be at home, at work, with our family, in our quiet times, eagerly anticipating his arrival, in our worship, in our prayer time. But it also means to see him as a place of safety and refuge. You know, what's that song? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and they are saved. Yeah? He's a place of safety, a tower of refuge. And it also means we can put our hope in him. We can put our trust in his word. You need to read it, but you can put your trust in it. Okay, so that was story number one, the watchman. Story number two comes from Matthew 25, and it's the parable of the 10 virgins. Let's read that, actually. So verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came along and they said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. He replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Okay, so first things to say is this parable is often used to describe the second coming of Jesus. Did you see that? He is the bridegroom, and we'll look at that in a minute. That's not the main thrust of what I'm going to sort of share this morning, but it's important that we recognize we are waiting for Jesus to return. Yeah, perhaps you didn't know that, but Scripture tells us that there will be a day when Jesus will come and he will return for us. And we are in that waiting for his second coming now. In verse 13, it said, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And there's a reason for that. You know, historically, once the bride price had been paid, when a couple became betrothed, the bride price was paid. And they were essentially married at that point. The only thing, it just wasn't consummated. The only thing that would dissolve a betrothal was either death or a decision on the groom's father's part, actually. So once the bride price was paid, the groom would go and build essentially an extension onto his father's house for him, for them, him and his wife to live with. And this could take a year. Could you imagine that? You know, only once his father approves the work and gives him permission can he go marry his bride and bring her home. But the thing is, she didn't know when he was coming back. So she had to be ready. This wedding analogy is used throughout Scripture, actually. And we know that Jesus is preparing a place for us because he tells us in John 14, Ade, who shared this at in the prayer meeting this morning. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. This is that analogy of a wedding. But we miss it sometimes in our sort of Western context because we don't think backwards here. You know, we choose a day, we choose a place, we invite everybody. That's lovely sometimes. And the bride is the last one to arrive because it's all about her. It was all about you. It's okay. But we're called to be a bride waiting for the groom because it's all about him. He is the center of it. You know, there's a song, you may know it, it's a Christian Stanfield song called Even So Come. You know, like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. When I was working in Azerbaijan, so I guess pre-COVID, 2019, I found out that the customs there were really similar. That the bride would get ready, but then she would be left on her own. Left to think, to wait, to think about what married life was going to be, think about her husband. Now, as it's fairly modern, I suspect they waited for a set period and they knew what time he was coming because, you know, they'd invited their friends. But actually we see in Esther 2 that Queen Esther had to be prepared for a year to go and see King Xerxes. Esther 2, before a young woman's turn came to go into the king, Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women, 6 months with oil and myrrh and 6 with perfume and cosmetics. But the good news is that Jesus has paid the price, he's paid the bride price for us, and he has already prepared us and washed us clean from that stain that was our sin. But we can still wait for Jesus like a bride. Okay, because it's all about the principles. So we could wait for him knowing that we have been bought at a great price. We can wait for him knowing that he will return for us, but we don't know when. So let's eagerly anticipate and wait for him. You know, let those two truths alone shape your worship this year, your prayer that you were bought at a great price and that he was returning for you. But it also calls us to be full of the Spirit. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. That is the Spirit of God within you. Living lives that are full of the Spirit is one way that we can prepare ourselves to wait for him. Okay? Okay, third story for you. Samuel. So we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that Samuel is a small boy. He's sleeping on the floor of the temple with Eli. Okay, one night. Let's have a look. We'll pick it up on verse 2, I think. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go and lay down." So he went and lay down. This goes on a few times, so we'll do it again. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called for me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lay down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said, "Samuel, go and lay down. And if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." You'll be pleased to know that I don't have a story for this one. I was never a temple boy sleeping on the ground. I don't think even Lyle has a story for this. And Lyle's got a story for everything. But actually, just checking. But actually, I will say this, actually, because I can see you guys together. Lyle and Danny went over to the Isle of Man weeks back, for the School of Leadership. And, you know, I was looking through the social media posts at the end. And for what I saw anyway, there were only two pictures of Lyle. And both times, he was at the front responding, being ministered to. You know, that is somebody who went ready to hear from God. So now you've got a story for that one. Now I've got. So what does it mean to wait on the Lord like Samuel or Lyle, maybe? So Samuel was actively listening for the Lord. He knew he was going to speak. He was expecting the Lord to speak. So he was waiting. He said, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." And I guess he also wasn't getting distracted. Now, bear with me. I suspect sleeping on the floor of the temple up to 3,000 years ago, there probably wasn't a lot to get distracted by. But boys are boys. They've got imaginations. He was being obedient. He was told to wait and listen, and he did. A quick segue to Eli. Did you notice what Eli did? So let's go back to verse 8. At the back end, Eli disciples Samuel. He says, "Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lay down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" The reason that Samuel was listening and was ready was because Eli saw something and taught him. The reasons that the brides were ready was because somebody had got them ready and helped them wait. We've been talking about discipleship with the guys this year, actually. And, you know, it's worth just finishing the way that Lyle kind of started. We're going to be doing a 10-day devotion together on discipleship. But actually, it's more than that. It's an opportunity for us as a church to come together and put some of these principles into practice, to fast, to pray, to worship, to be expectant on God to speak to us, to be expectant on him to do something, to change something in us, in our situations, in the world around us. This will position us for 2024 and beyond as individuals, as families, but as a body, as a family on a mission together here in Horsham and in the nations. And if we zoom out further than that, it will position us to wait for Christ. So let's hurry up and wait together in those things. Does that make sense? So Lyle gave an opportunity for people to respond to the gospel this morning. But, you know, I've been talking about Jesus on the assumption that everybody knows who he is and has accepted him. Yeah, perhaps you don't know Jesus other than, you know, the baby in the manger or in a nativity scene. You know, Advent was a time of hoping, and we know now that hope has a name. Love has a name. His name is Jesus. He's the living word. When the psalmist said, "I put my hope in the word," he didn't realize, perhaps, that he was being prophetic. Because we can put our hope in the word. Because in John 1, we read that the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is Jesus. We can put our hope in his word because his word is Jesus. So this morning, if you don't know him, you know, today is a perfect opportunity to meet with him. So is there anybody who doesn't know Jesus and would want to meet with him this morning? Okay, that's fine. If there is anybody who wants to discuss that afterwards, you know, do come speak to myself, Lyle, any of the leaders. I think for us, though, as a church, I think the way to respond to this is, you know, I feel like this is a call to action for all of us. To hurry up and wait. Whatever that looks like. To maybe not have New Year's resolutions that focus on us. But to focus on Jesus in the waiting, in our fasting, in our prayer. To be in relationship with him. And just change our focus, perhaps, to him. You know, rather than having a New Year's resolution that says, "I'm going to read my Bible more," why don't you just focus on the Lord and let his Holy Spirit create a hunger in you for the word? I think that would last longer than a New Year's resolution, if I'm honest. I think that is a model for life. Well, how do you want us to respond to this?
Can I put a few points?
Come on, Dave. Jump in.
Don't go anywhere. Wow, what a word. I think this word that Dave's been sharing with us is such, the timing of it is incredible. I think it's exactly what God is saying to us as a people for now. And there was a couple of things I picked up, Dave, there. You know, when we get tired of waiting, we lose focus. You know, I think that came through so well when Dave was talking about the virgins and the oil. When we get tired of waiting, we lose focus of God, and we can wander onto our own agendas. And I think God is pulling us back to look at him. Mm. I think the other area is running ahead of God. So often, instead of waiting for God, we run in front of him. And there is something about waiting for him so that he gets all the glory. And not being too busy. And the New Year's resolution thing, again, resonated with me. How often do we go into, "Oh, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to do this in this way." But that's all me-focused. It's all me-centered. Rather than going, "Hang on, God, I want to bring you glory this year. I want my eyes to be on you. I don't even know what my next step should be. I want you to show me where that next step is." So I think if you can resonate with any of those, let's just stand where you are, because I think God wants to do business this morning. just as you're standing there, just start to open your heart. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's get our eyes on Him this morning. And let's actually sing a worship song. And then we're going to respond. But in this worship song, I just want you to get in the presence of God. Like, forget the person next to you. Forget what you're doing. Forget the New Year's Eve party this evening. Forget those things in front of you. Because we want to get our posture right. We want to be waiting on God. We want to be positioning ourselves for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We want our hearts to be all His. We want to give ourselves. Dave said there wasn't a single part of him that wasn't waiting for God. Is there any part of you that's not waiting for God? This morning, put it aside so that all of you is waiting on Him. And as we worship, posture yourselves in that. And then Dave's going to pray for us.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From the throne of endless glory, to the cradle in the earth.
Faithfulness. expectancy of you, Lord. A desire, an eagerness for your word, for your name. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to that, never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love story that you have written through time. That love letter that you wrote to our hearts, Lord. Yeah, Father, I pray that you would fill this. Presence, your glory. We would know you and seek you even more. As we know you, we seek you more, Lord. And I pray for your spirit to fill each one of us, Lord. Like those lamps full of oil. But over the next year, as we are on mission as a family, we would see you do it again, Lord. Those great things we were singing about this morning. Do it again. Salvations, miracles, healings, Lord. We know you can do it again, Lord. We ask you to come as we partner with you, Lord. Would you reveal your glory this morning and for this next year?
Just stay there. Father, we just thank you for this incredible time we could have together, Lord, as your people. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, we will position ourselves for your glory. Lord, we will position ourselves for your kingdom this year, Father. In every area of our lives, Father, in every single space that we have, Lord, it'll all be for you this year, Father. So, Lord, I just pray this word will drop into our hearts, Lord, that we'll work this out, Lord, even as we go into a time of fasting as your people. Lord, take us to that place. Take us into your presence, Lord, as we just wait on you and we just love you with all our hearts, Father. We give you all the glory, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives this year, Father. For the battles, Lord, that you've taken us through. All the victories, Lord, and the trials, Father, we thank you. That it's all for your name, Lord. It's all for your name, Lord. And as we look forward, Lord, we can see where you want to take us, Lord. We're excited, Lord, for the things you have for us as a people. And Lord, I just pray our hearts will just grow in capacity and love for you this year. Lord, let it all be about you this year. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts even more this year. Increase our capacity, Lord, to love. Thank you, Jesus.